If you would, please take your Bibles or a pew Bible near you and turn to Colossians chapter 3, verses 17 through 21, and the beginning of Ephesians chapter 6. Actually, the first four verses of Ephesians chapter 6. First Colossians chapter 3, 17 through 21. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this is your acceptable duty in the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, or they may lose heart. And in Ephesians chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. A number of weeks ago, I was doing some reading and some thinking and looking ahead to this particular time of the year. And as many of you know, I generally try to plan the sermons out for several weeks. This is a time of the year where we spend a lot of time thinking of families and talking about families and getting together with families, immediate and extended, with Halloween and Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's. There is a major emphasis in those areas. Actually, our family began on New Year's Eve, 1974, as Mary and I were married on that day. So this is a very special and important time of the year for many people. And so as I was looking ahead, I thought, well, let's talk a little bit about families and hopefully some ideals within families. We sang a short time ago, "Happy the family when God is there." And while ideally that is the truth, the ideal is contained in these words. Realistically, the family is not always a happy place. Things happen within families and to families that sometimes make it difficult. Whether that has to do with a separation, a divorce, a death, abuse, any number of things happen to families that can make the family not always a happy place. Sometimes it makes us wonder just what is going on. Why are we even here? You know, the family is one of four basic institutions in society that can make a difference in the world. These four institutions which help to, we hope, humanize the world as a whole, and that are necessary, I think, for a stable society, are church, schools, the state, and the home, and not necessarily in that order all the time. Each plays a vital role in the makeup of both individuals, who we are and what we are, and the entire community around us. But we usually have very little control over a lot of these areas. These areas that each affect our lives so greatly. If you think about it, church, schools, government, and homes affect our lives in so many different ways, and sometimes some more than others. We may elect leaders in government, but they don't necessarily do exactly what we want them to do or what we expect them to do. We may go to schools or send our children to schools only to find out that some of the things going on we really don't have much control over and don't particularly care for. And some of that the schools can't even control. We may go to churches or look around at churches where there are different dynamics that don't go exactly like we hope. And that happens sometimes in families too. But I would submit to you that the family is the one place out of all of those others that we can have the most impact. The home and the family. In considering some family guidelines and some contributions, we must first recognize some of our presuppositions as we face the question, what can I do to strengthen my family relationships? And what can I do to make a difference? The first presupposition that we should have, especially we who are religious folks, we who are Christians, is that marriage in the family is of divine origin. Where do we find first that institution spoken of in the biblical text? Both Genesis chapters 1 and 2. In Genesis 1, God instructs all the creation to be fruitful and to multiply. In Genesis 2, we see that God means for the man and the woman to live together in love, in trust, and in mutuality. The woman completes man's being and vice versa. As we have said before, any supposed hierarchy of one over another is not the result of creation. It's a result of poor human decisions in the fall. Because in creation, God intends for those partners to be mutual in love, in respect, in work, in trust, in helpfulness. A second assumption that we have about the family and marriage is that there are divine laws to safeguard the family and the home. In fact, one of the commandments in the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, or the Ten Words, speaks of the responsibility of children to parents. And it was mentioned a few moments ago in both passages, honoring father and mother, in particular in Ephesians. It's the first one with a promise that things may go well and that you may have a long life. You know, Bill Cosby one time in a show reminded his TV son, he said, when he was trying to get him to straighten up, he said, "Son, remember I brought you into this world, I can take you out." Now, I don't think that what was meant initially in that passage was in the Decalogue was that you might have a short life if you don't obey. Or sometimes if you don't obey, you may think, boy, this life's never going to end, is it? But still, it is a promise. If one honors parents. Another one of the Decalogue speaks to the sacredness of sex. You shall not commit adultery. And yet, another forbids the covetousness that would destroy family stability. You shall not covet your neighbor's house or wife or animals, etc. In fact, before the church, the school, or the state were ever established, God set up that foundational human institution. In fact, I would say that it is the most important of societal institutions. And yet people today are decrying the state of the family, blaming all sorts of folks for difficulties in the family. And there are many reasons for problems within families. But many of those have been occurring for a long time. It's not just today. Some fail because they're based solely on a romantic notion, on a chemical reaction between males and females. Some are in trouble because men and women fail to recognize that each one must work together in order to achieve success in the home. Others run into trouble because of character collapse of one or both partners. And rather than trying to work it out together and hold each other up, many unfortunately concede defeat. And it's not just those folks out there. The rate of such marriages ending in Protestant churches and in Baptist circles is every bit as high as outside the church. In some cases, higher. Some families fall apart because of a lack of unity in a variety of areas. Of course, the first one that usually comes to mind for folks is money. But another has to be the rearing of children. And we could name a lot more if we wanted to take the time to do that. A lot more reasons for that kind of disheartening feeling that we sometimes not only see around us, but sometimes we experience it ourselves. With all of these reasons or excuses and others, we might wonder if there is any hope. Any hope at all for the family. I do think we find some assistance within the biblical text. First of all, we need to recognize that there are not just two people who are involved in marriage and the family. You have parents. You have in-laws. Sometimes outlaws. You have the church, the community, the state, unborn children, each partner, and God, all involved in the marriage and in the family. And not just in the initial establishment of that family either, but throughout their lives. There are varying influences where each of those float in and out. Sometimes float up and down the scale of importance, depending on what's going on that particular day. Many times, we forget about those. That there is more to an alive family than just the partners. We also need to remember that marriage and the family are divine institutions and should be entered into with some modicum of seriousness, I think, and some commitment. We need to evaluate the importance of a family in which Christ is not just an outsider or an occasional visitor, but an essential part of family life. Remembering that marriage is meant to be for keeps, though all the time it doesn't end that way. It doesn't come in a throwaway pouch. Sometimes over the years I have come to the point where I think we need to put up a sign over the door that weddings that read for adults only. Because unfortunately sometimes even when those getting married may be older and have waited a while, we're much more childish than we are adult about it. But it's not just for the couple being wed, but would serve as a reminder to all others that the commitment is supposed to be a mutual commitment together for the good of not just the individual, but for the good of the entire family. A life together through good and bad for mutual happiness, where the husband and the wife are both responsible not just to each other, but to God for the way they relate with each other. Some feel, in fact, in this passage that we read a few moments ago, that since Paul addressed women first, that he sees the wife as making actually the greater contribution to the home. But when we read this passage about being subject, I intentionally backed up to verse 17, because most people start with verse 18 in Colossians 3, is to remind us that everything we do together is to be in a loving relationship, not just with each other, but out of love and respect and reverence for God as well. We need to enjoy and accept each other and recognize that while we are different persons, we are doing something together that God has said we can do together. It's not a case of one demanding and commanding another. It's a partnership, following the lead of the other, and always in a growing and vibrant love. In fact, in point of fact, the term Paul uses here in this passage for love is agapete, the supreme love, the love that we are to develop in the family. And this, of course, we hope and pray, husband and wife, but even more so with children and with others in the family, is to be based not just on eros or on philine, brotherly affection, but it is to grow toward that supreme love and care. But marriage is not the only family relationship. We've already mentioned the children and in-laws and outlaws and all kinds of others are involved in marriages and in families. Children and parents are to realize that God has placed the parents as teachers and guides. Kind of as an aside, last Sunday night when we were doing our thing on overcoming roadblocks, one of the scripture verses was James chapter 3, verse 1, which says, "Let not many of you desire to be teachers, my brothers, for we know that we who teach will be judged with a greater strictness." I bring that up again because we as parents, whether biological or whether we serve that function in other capacities or other places, are charged to be teachers and guides of children. Not just ours, but teachers and caring guides of those other children that cross our paths in so many different venues, in so many different ways. In fact, the only time that a child is free, children, to disobey is when parents command them to do something against what God would desire for them to do. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the Lord, after biblical principles, those things that God would have us to do. Parents are instructed in Colossians to guard against harsh, unkind, and unchristian attitudes toward their children. It's a hard thing because, you know, sometimes they are rugrats. Sometimes they are ankle binders. But, you know, I think sometimes that's because I was a rugrat and an ankle binder too, and I'm just getting paid back. But we're not to be harsh and unchristian and unkind. I mentioned before a commercial that was on some years ago. Don't know if I'll ever forget the commercial. Going into a jailhouse. There's a jail cell, and a person is behind the bars, and the door closes behind them, and they turn around and look out the bars, and the tagline is, "This is the face of an abused child." Those who are harsh and unkind to children tend to perpetuate, in many instances, harshness and unkindness. But think of the treasures with which we have been entrusted, whether biologically, through adoption, or through children coming into our classrooms, or into our communities, or maybe even cutting through our yard. Wisdom and discernment from God are to be the order of the day anytime we deal, not just with children, but with each other, but especially with children. We are to accept the fact that parenting and teaching a child is one of the most important things we could ever do as long as we live. and blessings upon you who do middle school. We are to accept them and enjoy them with gladness and fulfillment, loving them even when sometimes they seem to be unlovable, and believing in them when sometimes we wonder if they'll ever amount to anything more than a bag of bones. And that's not always easy. Believe me, it's not always easy. But it's something we need to do, not because we have earned it, but because God has given us the opportunity to be there. We need to expect something of them, too. Not giving them everything they want simply to please them, because our expectations will help them to gain self-respect as they learn not only that they can contribute to our families, but that they can contribute to our society. Now, all of these things take work, and sometimes it seems like maybe we're... Commercials have a great influence. Anybody seen the commercial with the two guys rowing? They're out fishing and they're in a canoe, and one of them's paddling the canoe, and he says, "You know, does it seem like this lake is going uphill?" Well, some of you obviously haven't. It's on one of the sports channels. And the other guy says, "Yeah, either that or you drop the anchor," and then the camera pulls back. They're each in an end of the canoe with their backs to each other, paddling at the same time in opposite directions. Sometimes when we are parts of families, we feel like that maybe we're not only paddling in both directions, but we might even be paddling in other directions as well, all over the map and all over the place. All of these things take work. And sometimes we may feel like we're not getting very far, and we long for that song, "Happy Our Home When God Is There." But you know, that work that we do, if we remember the great responsibility of agapete, supreme love that God gives to us and helps us to share, is one of the best ways that we can spell out that experience of love and care. We must work together for success. As husbands, wives, children, in-laws, outlaws, teachers, as part of a larger family, the family of faith. For if God is left out, the family will be out. However, no matter how difficult it may become, if we continue to keep God as our foundation, the one who gives the family life, then we will be a family alive, living, growing, and doing what God has called us to do. Would you join me in prayer? Dearest God, we oftentimes take our families for granted. Biological families, adoptive families, church families, community families. We take each other for granted, forgetting the responsibilities that we have to love and to work at love. Help us to remember that sometimes we are unlovable, perhaps even testing and trying your love and patience. But help us also to remember that the only way to truly be alive is to cultivate that love and that care with you, with our families, and especially with our family of faith. We offer ourselves to you in the name of Jesus, our Christ. Amen. Our hymn of decision is hymn number 451, A Christian Home. That's our prayer. That is our hope. But that is also something, as I said, that takes a great deal of work, and that sometimes we have successes and failures along the way. But it is also something that we were not given as a part-time position, for we are God's children and part of God's family. As we sing, our altar is open to any who would make a decision, whether that would be to follow Christ as Lord and Savior, to join with this fellowship as a family of faith and a community of hope, or in recommitment to each other as families alive. Hymn number 451.